debt recently because of the wild, reckless spending from Washington, D.C., and oftentimes at the local and state level as well. We know that many cities are broke, bankrupt, because they've squandered their resources, bailed out by the federal government, which means you're footing the bill. But the real national debt, according to my next guest, is far larger than the $28 or $30 trillion you hear about, $10 trillion of which was tacked on during the pandemic in large part. Now, he says the actual debt in America is well over $100 trillion. How does he get there? Well, let's find out. Mark Tapscott is the Hill Faith founding editor and congressional correspondent for the Epoch Times. Mark, good to have you here.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
$100 trillion. The way you've got it figured here, that's $800,000 per taxpayer. That, of course, doesn't count children or people that have flocked to the country illegally. But for you and I, we're on the list of $800,000 is what we owe to the world. How did we get there, and how do you arrive at this figure?
Well, actually, it's a calculation that was done by the folks at a nonprofit outfit in Chicago called Truth in Accounting. And basically what they did is they took the government's own data for the national debt, which pegs it right now at about $28 trillion. And then they added to that the value of the promised benefits the federal government has promised Social Security recipients and Medicare. And when you add those in, that blows it way up from $28 trillion to about $123 trillion. And basically it's an example of one of those funny money accounting tricks that the government does all the time where they just
But let
don't
me ask
count.
You something. Let me ask you something here, Mark, because often this is what we call an unfunded liability, correct? That's the common term, unfunded liability. And when you look at cities that are in debt or states that have, you know, their finances upside down, which is about 47 out of 50 of them.
Right.
One of the things that's always on the list is unfunded liabilities. They have obligations to pension plans or retirement or whatever is on the list of things to do. Why is that not on the federal government's list of on their balance sheet?
Well, Steve, it's long been the habit of our politicians in both parties to promise benefits that they want to provide now without having to fund now. So they promise the benefits down the road, but they don't provide a way to pay for them. But they always come due, and when they come due, then, of course, the people who are paying the taxes at the time they come due, they have to shoulder the burden of paying for it.
So what happens if you have a failed bond sale? I mean, that's the way we fund our debt. We have bond sales, right? People from Germany and Japan and China and wherever show up and buy American bonds because they believe the payoff is going to be whatever it is, and they still believe the American economy is strong enough to prop up the American government. But what happens if you have a single failed bond sale and they say, people say, we don't want to buy the debt today? Then what happens?
Well, then the benefits don't get paid. It's as simple as that. And not only that, but if one bond loaner says, wait a minute, we're not doing this anymore, then a whole bunch more of them will do the same thing. And at that point, the full faith and credit of the United States government is history. And we all have an economic problem of immense magnitude.
An immense problem like Italy had. We call it a debt crisis.
Yes.
Where the government, and people don't believe this can happen. Trust me, this can happen.
Well, ask
in
people
Italy, they came
agree.
In and they raided people. They raided people's savings accounts. They came in and said, well, you know, you've got $1 million, Mr. Gruber, saved over your lifetime. You don't need that kind of money because Bob over here, you see, he sat at the bar every day and smoked a lot of cigarettes, and he doesn't have any money left. And by the way, he doesn't feel very good either. He's kind of sick. No kidding. We need you to pay for Bob and Susie and his family. Oh, and by the way, their grandkids want to go to college. Can you pay for that? And on and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, you and I have both been around long enough to have heard the same old song from people in government. You know, we're going to provide you this wonderful benefit today, and don't worry, somebody else will pay for it someday. The problem is, someday always arrives, but there's not always somebody there who can afford to pay for it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, the problem is here's my confusion. And Mark Tapscott here, congressional correspondent, Epoch Times, Hill Faith founding editor. When did the left decide they were entitled to my paycheck? When did those in government decide that my paycheck was theirs to decide what to do with it? When did that happen?
Well, let me give you an illustration from my own experience. Before I became a journalist, I was in the Reagan administration as a Reagan political appointee at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, which manages the Federal Career Civil Service Retirement System. This was in 1983. The unfunded liability in 1983 for the Federal Retirement Program was $569 million. A little more than half a billion. The chairman of the House committee at the time that had oversight of OPM was a Michigan Democrat, William Ford. You may remember him. William Ford said, "We don't worry about the unfunded liability because," and I'm quoting, "the government can always raise taxes," unquote. That's the attitude that people in government have had, you know, as long as any of us can remember.
Not everybody in government, which is why I'm not allowed to run, because I wouldn't have that attitude. But I also hate bureaucracy, and it would probably make my hair fall out, and I kind of like my hair. At any rate, Mark, greatly appreciate you being... Okay, I like my hair a lot. Mark, greatly appreciate you being here. We should have this conversation more in depth again, because I don't think people understand the real true nature of the danger of a credit crisis. Thank you, sir.
You're absolutely right.
Quick break on the way. Patrick Byrne in a few moments here, founder of Overstock.com and a guy still trying to figure out what happened November 2020. We'll be right back.